Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
We've been following with some interest the reporting of the World Cup from Qatar, especially around the Israeli delegation. And we wanted to get a little bit more information from those sources. Chaim Semek, and I hope I pronounced your name correctly, is a journalist, Israel advocate, and he's been covering this story. Chaim, good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. Thank you for having me.
Do me a favor and pronounce your surname for me.
Yeah, Smirk.
Smirk.
You were close. You were close. You were on the way.
Not bad. What origin is that?
Bad, yeah. It's Polish. It's a Polish last name. Interesting story about it, but I'm sure we'll have an opportunity later to talk about it.
Well, let's see.
We'll
see how the time goes. But all right, so Chaim, you've been following very closely the events, the reporting, because it wasn't so simple. The fact that Israelis were even allowed there, they were able to attend, wasn't a given. What's your observation?
So, look, at the end of the day, it's very clear that the Qataris tried to create a situation, especially leading up to the World Cup, in which it was led to believe that everything will be as if we have, like, normalization with the UAE. It was really, like, kosher will be allowed, prayer will be allowed, Israelis will be allowed, Jews will be allowed. At the end of the day, we're starting to see that it was not as clear as it was going to, as it was not as a picturesque kind of situation that they were trying to create for us. It's clear that that most of what they were trying to say they were going to do, they're backtracking, you know, last minute. We receive reports from the Jerusalem Post about kosher food not being allowed. At the end of the day, we're seeing that, you know, bagels are being sold, but bagels, I mean, As a Jew, are you going to only be able to eat bagels for an entire month?
We'd complain by lunchtime if there were only bagels on the menu.
Exactly. I mean, we love bagels, but bagels is not going to be something we're going to be able to continue eating for an entire month.
Right.
And, you know, with all due respect as well, I saw, you know, on the Jerusalem Post, there was a rabbi, I forgot his name, I apologize for that. He's the one in charge of the kashrut for Qatar, and clearly, I understand that he cannot really say much because, you know, you are in a place that is very hostile to Jews and to Israelis especially. And we must not forget, Qatar is a state that sponsors terror. And, you know, the image that they're trying to create to the world, that they're opening and respectful and all that, that is just, you know, for the world to see. They allowed Israeli journalists in, but they're purposely allowing, and you know, I saw other images and other videos that I still haven't shared yet, from other angles in which you can see they're literally going around looking for Israeli journalists. They found the Israeli journalist from Channel 13, and they've gone around and they've really just been harassing him every single night, going around, finding him, going with Israeli, with a Palestinian flag, sorry, and they're just going after him, you know, chanting Israel, Israel, go away. Israeli reporters from Channel 11 have been, last night I heard Moav Vardi from Channel 11 saying, you know, free Palestine is something that they've been hearing every single day, all the time. They cannot stop hearing it. As reporters, they go around, and when they go to Qataris themselves, and when they ask Qataris questions about the World Cup, as soon as they notice that they are Israelis, or they ask them, where are you from? And they say, we are Israelis. They turn around and they leave and they don't want to be interviewed at all. And, clearly we're seeing, you know, everyone keeps saying, but there's some people that say that it's not harassment. Well, I must say, I don't see anyone else doing that to Al Jazeera reporters. I don't see anyone doing that to any other group of reporters, but I must say that Israeli reporters who are finding themselves in Qatar, some of them whom I've been in contact with and some of them that I have been trying to get in contact with, they're very brave. They're very, very brave for what they're doing. And I've tweeted about it as well, because they are doing a service to us. They're showing the world what Qatar really is. If anyone had a, you know, you know, they wanted to give them a chance to see maybe.
Right. Well, there's very little doubt. Even, you know, if we saw what happened with the, just with the alcohol, and that's got nothing to do with Israel or Jews, but the fact that everything was agreed and then it wasn't agreed. And then we're seeing, the pressure on the LGBTQ community, to have no visible signs, no armbands, no, you can't enter into one of the stadiums if you're wearing, anything that might look like gay pride. So we're definitely seeing I think the real side of it. I think as hard as they might have worked to pretend otherwise, I'm not sure that they've succeeded.
I believe at the end of the day that their goal was not really to create an image of we're really welcoming. They only wanted that image to be seen from the very beginning. So that way, you know, leading up to the World Cup, there will be less pressure, less questioning about what is going on. But as soon as the World Cup started, we saw, you know, everything being rolled back last minute, the beer is not being allowed, prayer. You know, this is something that's very incredible to me. I grew up in a household where my father is Argentinian. Right. And my mother is Brazilian. So World Cup is something that we watch all the time.
Right.
And, you know, the whole topic of FIFA and all that, it's something that, you know, we are very much involved in. We know what's going on. We're very much updated. And, when all of this started to come out, we kept saying to ourselves, wait, FIFA is the one in charge of the World Cup. Qatar is a host country. Qatar has to abide by rules from FIFA. And it seems as if it's not just Qatar that's rolling back. It's as if FIFA is doing the same.
Well, it is interesting because we saw that when the World Cup was here in South Africa. We had this impression that for those few weeks, FIFA ran the country. South African government basically stepped aside and the demands, the requirements, everything was according to FIFA rules. And here we're not seeing that at all.
Exactly. We see that. We saw that in every single country. We don't see that in Qatar. You know, I'll leave the whole, I won't say it's conspiracy theories because we know that there are investigations about.
No, well, it's more than that now. We know that there was bribery.
And we know at this point, you know, I'll leave that aside for a second. And I will say that it is incredible because for FIFA to demand countries to do certain things, to create division between church and state, but not demand that from Qatar is really impressive. It's really, it just goes to show that Qatar doesn't just have money in terror. They have money in many other places and they have a lot of influence. And if anything, we have to learn from this whole situation is that Qatar is a bigger threat to us than what it appears. And, we must not forget as well that there's a lot of, I've seen in many, Israeli sources a report that, there are fears that Iran, who happens to be best buddies with Qatar will even have an attempt to do some sort of terror attack or something might happen in Qatar. Even though, there are other sources that are saying that for now, for this month of the World Cup, there will be quiet in the region.
Right.
And then after the World Cup, we'll just wait and see what exactly will take place.
That's unfortunately all we have time for. Chaim Ismerk, who is a journalist, Israeli advocate, following the story very closely of Israel's position in Qatar. Thank you for joining us this morning and bringing us that perspective.